City League Sports Show. Come on, people. We have a fun one here today. Joining me today in the Legacy Lounge is the one and only Raven Ferguson, Afrocentric student athlete, current Eastmoor Academy head coach. And so I'm your host, Dr. Vince Clarino. We're going to talk a little bit about everything, a little basketball, a little this, a little that. Yeah. Raven, say hello to everybody here in Central Ohio.
Hello. How y'all doing?
See, hey, look. So you know, the fun of the show is that we get to have little moments in pre-recording, right, where we're just talking.
Okay.
And so I wasn't sure what your hello was going to be. Like, it was just, hello, what's up, how y'all doing, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of like a smooth jazz type, of hello, right?
Yes.
So I asked a question.
Okay.
Because I couldn't find it in my own notes, right? We like to dig in. We go in. We on the internet. We searching for everybody's stuff, right? Tell us about where you from. Tell everybody. Just give us that little snapshot. Where you from? How you end up in Columbus? And then we'll like jump into Afrocentric somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am from Huntington, West Virginia. I was born there.
West V.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I moved there. I moved out of Huntington when I was like 6. I came to Columbus and never looked back.
Okay.
My mom was determined to give us a better life. If you know anything about Huntington or you know anything about West Virginia,
yeah,
it ain't much there.
Yeah.
I could have stayed there, yes, but it's more opportunities in Ohio for my family.
Well, and Columbus is a growing city.
Yes.
So a lot, you know, that story is not, and not to say that's not unique. It's a whole bunch of people moving here. You know what I mean? I look up, I'm going, I ain't never seen, I can go places now and I can be in a completely room of... You know, I don't know a single person in the room.
Yep.
It wasn't like that when I was in my 30s.
Uh-huh.
In my 30s, I would go someplace and I knew half the room. And now I can go places I don't know anybody in the room.
Well, I'm realizing now that I got family that's here.
Mm. Wow.
I'm seeing a lot of Fergusons and I'm asking questions and I'm asking them, hey, you related? Because me and my dad don't have a real relationship.
Okay.
But I know that my family, I've been told that my family.
The dots start to connect for
you. Yes.
Yeah.
My family is here.
Yeah.
So I'm asking questions, especially now that I'm older. I'm trying to connect with that side and know where I come from on that side.
Okay.
So I know I got family here.
Certainly.
So if you know.
And that's a journey in of itself, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
I share with everyone, like as you're going through this process of kind of like attaching, finding family, whatever it may be. That's a journey. We're going to talk a little bit about your journey today. You mentioned, I'll share this as a little quick basketball side note. So when I was playing at Duquesne, and we were nobodies back then. Like, I mean, when I say nobodies, we weren't that good.
Okay.
I mean, but we had some guys that could play.
Yeah.
We just couldn't get over that bubble, right?
Right.
We were
right.
kind of a 500 team, 15-15, something like that. But we always had a game with West Virginia University, West V. We would travel down from Pittsburgh down to West V.
Yep.
And I remember my first time going, I mean, there was like kids and stuff camped out and all these people. I was going, are they doing all this for the Duquesne game?
Yep.
Like, so what happens when, you know what I mean? Like when Pitt rolls down here or when, you know, UConn comes in town, right? When they were back in the Big East, I'm thinking to myself, oh yeah, so this is the only ticket in town. I mean, I think it might've been sold out for a game against us. And I mean, they gave us the business.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about, I mean, on the court, I think we might have been competitive, but the fans.
No, yeah.
The fans at West V gave us the business
West
at
Virginia
that game.
They basketball.
Oh, they love it. They love their sports at West V, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah, they gave us the business down there. I said, wow, okay.
Yeah.
This is an eye opener.
Yeah.
Right? So you come to Columbus, and then let's kind of start your basketball discussion here. When did you start hooping? When did that, was it? At 6? Was it at 10? Was it at 14? When did that occur?
I honestly started immediately when I hit Columbus. I got inspired by my cousin. Some might know OJ Mayo.
Okay.
He was one of those people who, like, I watched. I followed around AAU, D1 Greyhounds. They traveled everywhere, and my family used to follow them. We used to be kind of, like, together.
How much older is he than you, per se? 5 years, 10 years?
Probably like five.
5 years? Okay. Yeah, all right. So like when you five. Six, he 10, 12, 13 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. All so right. I'm watching him and I'm seeing like him get off the court and signing autographs. Yeah. Even Bill Walker was another person that he played with, like that I thought was like elite. Like,
yeah.
These are people I'm inspired by. And right, I'm like, right, I want right, to be right. like them.
Yeah.
First of all, I grew up with all boys and all brothers, all boy cousins. So
are you the youngest?
No, I'm the middle
in
child.
In the middle.
Yes.
But brothers on both sides of you.
Yes.
Younger brothers, older brothers.
Yes.
Okay.
And then all boy cousins. So
all
I
boy
was
cousins.
My grandma's first granddaughter.
Oh, wow.
So okay. I was like.
So you was treated special.
Yeah, a little
you was treated. Hey, look, it's always like that, right? Because I know some families and it's like all girls and then the boy cousin come on. I'm like, we got to stop coddling this boy. I know everybody loves him. I said, look, he can only withstand, 100 kisses.
Yep.
It can't be 200 kisses. So you were babied then a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit, little something. But I never actually felt like I was the girl.
Mm.
Because I always felt like the boys were always like, girls can't do that. Girls can't do this. Girls can't do that. And that's what sparked that fire into me.
Come
like,
on. Thank you, cousins
I'm
and
be
brothers.
Better than you. Yeah.
Thank you, cousins and brothers.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
Hey, facts.
But you done lit this fire in.
I done turned the car on and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So I ended up watching him like do everything that he did. I went to his house. You see boxes of like, NIL, they give you stuff, but this was before NIL.
No
he
doubt.
Was getting Reeboks,
right.
Adidas, mm-hmm. clothes. I'm
People
like,
don't understand, like even if like even now, and we'll talk a little bit about the game here, but so much has changed. But like even back then, there was still some opportunities.
Yep. Yep.
And I can only imagine, right?
Yep.
Because even for the little bit of stuff that I was exposed to, and I can remember, I'm going, wow. Like this is, okay, this is what happens
this
when you
nice.
Know, this is nice, right? Yeah. So you're seeing those things as a young kid, and that's having an impression on your life.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be that. I wanted to be just like that. I wanted to be the one getting the autographs and getting the clothes sent to me.
Right.
But you're a girl, so it's not the same.
And you were at a different time period in the women's game.
Yep.
Right? So as it has grown also and evolved, some of those young people now are having that experience.
Yep.
Because I like to joke with people and my experience was marginal. I had a heck of a ride. I had a good time.
Okay.
But I look back on it and then now, and I'm not knocking this generation. But some of these guys that are getting a chance and an opportunity,
you right.
They wouldn't have made my high school team.
You right.
You wouldn't even have been on the team.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying, but you wouldn't have made the team.
You ain't lying.
And now we're looking at you and you all state. Like, hey, I'm not knocking where the level is at. But so, you know what I mean? So it's grown and it was different.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that. And I'm a voice that's saying, hey, let's push it. Let's get our kids back to whatever level we think it is.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that going backwards means regressing. I'm just saying that we have to give them some of the skill sets that get outside of just, hey, look, I'm, because a kid like OJ, he had the talent to go with the attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So like when you watch him, I remember seeing him. So, being a Columbus guy and he was Northern Kentucky area, UC, Cincinnati.
Yep.
So, I remember seeing him and I was like, oh, he can go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he can go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had a front row seat to those experiences.
Yeah. Yep.
And then that helped mold you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I started with the Recs.
Okay. In Central Ohio.
Yep. Crum Park.
Oh, there we go.
Adams. Yep.
Come on.
I work there now.
Okay.
I work there. I get back to my community. But that's where I started. I played 5 to 8. I played 9 to 11.
Yeah.
I played 12 to 14.
Yeah.
I played 16U. I didn't stop playing. It got to the point where
they had to kick you out the gym.
Basically, they had to. It's a rule. It's a rule. It's a Raven rule right now that doesn't allow people to play with the Recs and the school. Because I played in a state game on TV, and then I turned around and came and played in the city tournament for the Recs in Park.
Wow.
So the next day.
So you loved the game.
I loved being in the gym. I would go from practice. I don't think I ever missed a practice. If I could say, like a high school, AAU, even though my coaches would bring me to practice, would take me to practice, but I wasn't calling off. I wasn't missing any time in the gym. Even after being in the gym, I would go back to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I just love being in the gym.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
It's a safe haven for many of us who love the game. You know, even for me, I might just be out of school and I'm just maybe walking through for a meeting or for whatever it might be. And I got to go in there and just throw, let me just toss one up. Give me a pass. Let me just throw a shot up, right? Because for those of us that are hoopers and love it, it just calls out to you differently.
Yep.
And, you know, I might be at home and some little kids maybe are dribbling a ball just down the street. If I hear it, my wife even to the day, you know, I go run to the window because I just want to see who's out there dribbling the ball, right? And she go, you still running to the window? I say, I'm just curious to see who, you know, I hear the ball going. I'm just curious to see who's out there. I just want to see who's dribbling out there. So for you then, you got older brothers, younger brothers, you got male cousins, you hooping all the time. Mm-hmm. And so you're falling in love with it at the same time, right? Yep. You're seeing high profile cousin get a lot of attention. Yep. You're falling in love with the sport. So then let's just jump in into Afrocentric, right? Is that a fair place to start, or am I missing a step someplace that you think we should share?
I definitely want to make mention of one thing.
Come on, get it.
When it came to me playing at the rec, I would say, like, my mom came to one game, my first game. I was 6 at the time. She came to one game, and you could tell she wasn't, like, super happy after the game. She was kind of irritated, and I was wondering why, because we won.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all happy. She like, how you going to play basketball? You ain't dribbled. So I was a post player.
Okay.
I was a post player playing with the boys. I was the biggest girl, so I didn't dribble the basketball. I would just turn around and just lay
making,
it up.
Making shots.
She was like, you can't play basketball. Yeah, she's like, you can't play basketball and you can't dribble?
Right.
I'm not coming to see this.
Mm.
Like, because she's used to watching OJ play.
Yeah,
she's
used
to seeing.
Little move, in and out. Stir the coffee.
Yeah, real game.
Yeah, a little hesitation so like, between the legs.
Nah, I'm not coming to see this. I'm not coming to see you do that.
Okay.
So I taught myself how to dribble. We had an alley. I dribbled hand behind my back.
Come on, let's get it. I know that story.
Down the alley, right hand back.
Yeah.
Like, taught myself, and then I watched basketball. So any move I seen, let's put that in our bag.
Like,
that's what type of kid I was. So, you know, moving forward to Afrocentric.
Certainly.
I ended up freshman year.
Hold on for a second. We have a theme going here. And the theme is that I'm hearing in you that these moments in your life where maybe someone challenged you, older brothers, cousins said you can't do something, mom comes to you, says maybe you can't do a little something, and then that inspires you to say, hey, look, you know what? Yes, I can.
Yep.
There's a whole study about people that are like that because not everyone is built that way, right? And so... So I can share it with you, and I don't even know what you're going to do next in life. Mm. That spirit, that energy, that motivation is destined for greatness, right? Mm. And so I share with you that what they say for those individuals is that don't wait for the external piece. Internally, say to yourself, okay, hey, look, you know what? This is something that maybe somebody thinks I can't do.
Right.
This is what I want, though, and then go drive for that.
Yep.
But because it's interesting to hear you say that. I have a very, speaking basketball, when I was in school, Sherwood Middle School here.
I know Sherwood.
Walnut Ridge used to do a basketball camp. And back then, you knew which high schools you were going to. You went to your neighborhood school, right?
Yep.
And our coach, the coach that was at Walnut Ridge, would do a little camp. Middle school camp. I remember I went to the camp, and I still have it today. I used to give every camper a handwritten player analysis sheet. I still have mine at my house, right?
Okay.
And on it, he said that my left hand wasn't ready. My left hand dribbling wasn't ready for high school basketball.
Okay.
And so just so happened, I had a family member got hurt, had a little arm sling. So my sister tied my arm behind my back every time you saw me. That's why I still run to the window as an adult today.
Yeah.
Every time I was in the neighborhood, I was just dribbling with my left hand.
Yeah.
Everywhere you went. I did that for probably 3 summers. Mm. I never even touched, except for in practice, I never even touched the basketball with my other hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so then in turn, when I got to high school, he said, you've been working on your left hand. I said, because I was taking that away from you. You weren't going to be able to use that against me, though.
Yep.
You weren't going to be able to say when I got to high school, your left hand is still weak.
Yep.
No, I'm going to tell you, you got to come up with some other reason why, right?
Yeah.
And I hear that in you as you share that story with mom. She comes to watch you play. You're 6 years old.
Yeah.
But you're like, okay, mom, I got you.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So that certainly then improves your skill set.
Yeah. It did.
And confidence.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I try to help with, tell all these players, is that the work is going to help your confidence. The work is going to help with wherever you lack. So I see a lot of players going into the gym and they shooting around, but is it game-like shots? Is it shots you're going to take? Are you doing it at a game-like pace, speed? Yeah. Like, I know there's some pace is a thing, like slow, fast.
Right.
But if you're not working on the pace in game pace, then you're not really getting better. You're just shooting up a bunch of shots. So I encourage players and athletes to get in the gym. If it is, I can't use my left hand. Go in there and just dribble with your left hand in the kitchen. You can be at home doing it.
That's exactly right.
I irritated my mom at home dribbling in the kitchen.
Yeah.
She never really told us. She told us to stop, but then she just knew, like, she knew, like, my
But there's a lot worse you could be doing.
Right.
A lot of work you can be doing. So I think that's one of those things where, as a parent, you almost just have to say it, right? Because my son would be dribbling in the kitchen. I say, stop dribbling in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But really, I just mean, hey, look, I see
control
you.
Control it.
I see you. You know what I mean? I see you in there trying to get it in, right? So so you do these things, some on your own.
Yep.
You playing at Crum Park, different stages and different levels.
Yep.
You're mixing it in with the boys. And so that's also then helping your skill set.
Yep.
So then you end up... you know, like I said, we'll go ninth grade. You're over at Afrocentric.
Yeah.
They're relatively young. And when I say young, in the kind of the tradition that we know of now, right? So people 2025 don't necessarily know Afrocentric. 2009, was that your freshman year? 2008, right?
Yep.
So that's 17 years ago, right? And so. It was just starting to have the buildup of the bus. So you're a part of the broad shoulders.
Yeah.
You lifting this thing up here, right? Because had they won a state championship?
They had one.
Won one, right?
Yep.
Okay. So you get there freshman, and then so let's talk a little bit about what comes to mind as you get in there and you're a part of this now. This great legacy of basketball, but you know, when you come in as a freshman, and let me share with everyone who's new to Central Ohio also, you played old Afrocentric, Livingston Avenue, old Mohawk,
East Livingston.
Old Mohawk High School. For those of you that really know, right, so we got some elder states individuals who know it, right?
Yeah.
That was Mohawk, and then it became Afrocentric,
right.
The gym was probably smaller than a matchbook. You know what I mean?
Side,
little time. But the work, it was the work.
Africa.
Yeah, come on, it was the work in there. A little small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably a bad term because Africa is huge. This gym was tiny.
It was hot.
Yeah, it certainly was hot. Yes, it was a hot box. It was a hot little small space.
Yeah.
But y'all got a lot of work in.
Yes.
So let's maybe talk a little bit about that.
Freshman year was fun. I would say that's probably my best year. Even though we didn't win, first of all,
didn't win state.
We didn't win.
Well, it's interesting the way you say we didn't win, right? Because like y'all had a very good season.
It was ranked. Had the rank.
But you see how like not winning state. Yes. Some people would love to get a district, right?
Yeah.
You won district.
Yeah.
You won regional.
Yeah.
You just didn't win state, right? And see how that's the standard though.
Yes.
The standard is we didn't win.
Yeah.
In your mind, you saying we didn't win state.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, a regional championship is an amazing season, right?
And I sometimes forget that, like mentally, like when I say we didn't win, it's like there's a city, there's a district,
there's a regional.
There's so many.
You won a lot of games. Y'all probably lost two, three games that season. Yeah, you probably go 24-2 or something like that. Yeah.
We played a national schedule. We played ranked national teams. Whitney Young's, we played teams. I feel like our goal was always to win state championship.
Right.
When I came in as a freshman, honestly, middle school, I would go back to middle school. I was deciding what school to go to.
Yeah.
Afrocentric wasn't just immediate for me. Eastmore was also one of my schools. You know, Ayanna Dunning was there at the time.
Yeah.
They had the All-Star game. I went to the middle school All-Star game. I liked Eastmore as a school. I went to the middle school before.
Right.
So it was only right for me to come and go to Eastmore.
Yeah.
But I went to the Classic in the Country.
Okay.
I worked it and I watched both teams. teams play. And I got to see Afrocentric and Eastmoor. Okay. When I seen Afrocentric, it was so exciting. Mm-hmm. It was so fast. It was like the skill, like the type of game that I play. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I'm going. I'm going to Afrocentric. So I called my mom, told her I want to go to Afrocentric.
Yeah, let's put in the paperwork and see what happens.
Yeah, let's go. And then my brother had to go. Mm. So my mom kind of forced my brother to go so I could get in.
Okay.
And then when I got in, I was super excited, but my middle school coach was like, man, they got too many stars there. Mm. You might not even play. Da, da, da. I'm like, another challenge.
Yeah.
Like
you said. There you go. Right. This another theme. Challenge. Come on, this theme.
Another
up, right?
challenge. Yeah. yeah. I've been challenged all my life. So like she told me that. I was like, okay, bet.
Right.
Went in there and started as a freshman.
Oh, wow.
So
that's huge.
Yeah.
For a Coach McKinney team.
Yeah. So I went in there and started as a freshman. I feel like my freshman year could have been a better year. I think I kind of came in a little shy. Mm. I would
say. Well, that's okay. People are allowed to be shy in new environments, especially when you're 14.
Yeah. I would inspire anybody to come in, no matter your age. If your game says, do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of, you know, the vets. Mm-hmm. Just play your game.
Just play.
Just play.
Well, if you've put in the work,
yeah.
What takes place on the soccer field, the football field, the wrestling mat, the basketball court, if you've done the work, those things will speak for itself when you get out there.
It will.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I was like not my best self my freshman year because I think if I would have played less shy and less passive because, you know, I had Moss on my team. I had Ashar Harris on my team. Mm-hmm. I had Nick. I had like some hoopers.
Just named some people that could go.
Yeah, they were hoopers. Yeah. So with them being on my team, I'm thinking I got to take the back seat, play my role, you know, be more passive, not be as aggressive as I could have been, but honestly, man, I could have.
Yeah, but that's okay though because you know what? Each step of our journey teaches us something, right? And so there was something that you were supposed to learn.
Yeah,
in that you know what I mean? Like in that process, and even and I share this like I certainly agree with you, but there also is there's also something to having enough awareness about yourself that you don't have to maybe push the envelope.
Yep.
Like waiting your turn is okay.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like that's okay.
Yes.
And I know a lot of times, like families, I was talking to a family this past basketball season of a kid who was a freshman, and it was like they wanted everything this year.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, but look, like, you know, I know as a parent, you maybe can't see it, but your child also can and will get better.
Yes.
And there's some older kids on the team. They may not have your child's skill set.
Right.
But they have the maturity side. Yep. They're, you know what I mean? So they got some things. Yeah. Yep. So they've been in it for a little while. Yep. So just you don't have to have it all right this exact moment. There's some chances for you. Yep. But you came into a very structured program, I think, at the time. So did that help you out, you think, to some degree?
Yeah. I mean, I had rough times. I had rough times. I had times where I went home, I wanted to quit.
Yeah.
I had times where I was crying.
Didn't you quit? Real talk. I mean, was it just the love of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, honestly, the feeling of wanting to quit was because basketball was all I was in people's eyes as a youngin'. Like, anytime you seen anybody, you still hoop, hooping. When you're next, like, it was irritating to me.
Yeah, it was attached to your identity.
Yeah, and I was more than that.
Right.
And I think that's where I was, like, when I hit freshman, sophomore year, I think that's what was coming out of me. More of a person I was than a basketball player. So I just always felt frustrated. Like, I loved music. So one thing about me, I probably could have been an artist, A&R, like something like that with music.
Yeah.
But I've been so sucked into basketball all my life that I feel like I've never went outside of that box to see.
It is certainly like, and I've seen that with a lot of people who had young success in a sport, and then it just becomes a part of your identity. It's attached to you everywhere you go, and every time you see the person. And I remember I was talking to a guy, and this was a guy that played professional football, and he was like, "Hey, you know what, man? Like, really, around the eighth grade, I didn't even really like playing football." I'm like, "What are you talking about? I thought you were Mr. Football."
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? He was like, I was just so good.
Yeah.
And so I just kept playing, but like I really didn't. And I was like, oh, wow.
Sometimes you know what I mean? It'd be a hobby.
Yeah. So yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't. And it's okay to have both.
Yep,
right.
Yep, yep.
You know, and I think what happens sometimes is that that especially now, the way we treat sports in America, where we done forced you to become a one sport person.
Yep.
You're so, you know, I mean, we force a sport on you all year round. The seasons don't even mean anything anymore.
Nope.
You go straight from playing basketball in your school, then you play AAU, then you play all summer, then in the fall, you in the fall league. Yep. It's like, you ain't never stopped, right?
Yep.
And so it makes it difficult for that balance to kick in. I share something also, though, because obviously we're talking basketball today.
Yep.
One of the things that I continue to push this on my show, I want everyone to continue to hear it. I'm screaming it as loud as I can. We haven't taught this generation very well on how to be resilient.
Yep.
This is a quitting generation, and we need to stop that.
Ooh.
Parents, coaches, friends,
ooh,
buddies, social media. Yeah, we need to stop that.
Yeah.
Let's stop telling everybody to quit. And I'm not saying if you have a real situation, I certainly understand walking away.
Yep.
But not just because
it's getting hard.
It's getting a little hard.
Yeah.
Not because you had to run a couple extra sprints. Not because you didn't get to start that game. Like, those are not quitting reasons. You know what I mean? And not because the coach jumped on you in practice. Yeah, the coach jumped on you in practice. That's okay. You can learn from you. They care. Right.
They care
because they could say nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And so, So with that being said, you kind of go through this time here. You come in as a splash, as a freshman. So then share with me then, during those years, you all win a state championship, and then the blessings start to roll in, per se?
Yeah, I got my first offer, I think, eighth grade. It was Ohio State.
Okay. Was McGuff the coach?
No, Coach Foster.
Okay, yeah.
Jim Foster. But freshman year was good for me. Sophomore year was even better for me.
Yeah.
We won the state. We ended up coming back, winning the state. And then junior year and senior year, I would say it was a struggle for me because we weren't as good talent-wise.
Yeah.
But I felt like, I don't want to say I had the team on my back for 2 years because I don't want to not give my teammates their praise because I needed all of them. But I've always felt like it was.
You had different expectations for you that year.
Yeah. It was, hey, you got to do what you need to do to get this state championship.
Right.
I think that it was just a lot of adversity that I dealt with in my past 2 years.
Yeah.
But after that, like, I felt like the offers start rolling in. I have totes. I have two or three totes of college
letters.
I actually did a career day at Eastmore and took them to Eastmore and tried to inspire the kids and stuff like that. But it was, I still got them. It was, I could go anywhere that I wanted to go.
Right.
But I had my top five. My top five was like.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear that. Come on, let's talk about who was on the short list.
My top five was I liked Xavier. I liked Ohio State.
Yeah.
I liked Miami, Florida. And I liked Michigan
Gainesville.
State. Yeah.
Michigan State. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I really wanted to go to Miami, Florida, if I could be honest.
Yeah.
I went on my visit there. I went by myself, too. I think that's why people wasn't on the bandwagon for me to go. Because they were like Afrocentric. It felt like Afrocentric, like the sisterhood. I played in the open gym. They was like, come on, youngin.
Let's get it.
Fume.
Yeah.
Fast
up and down. Push it.
When I tell you fast pace. And then I was eating. I remember this vividly. I came in eating. I was eating a sandwich. I was eating white bread. And they was like, when we eat that white bread, we eat wheat bread. They were eating healthy.
Yeah.
They were probably one of the teams that back then that had muscle mass in the girls' game.
Wow, certainly.
Yeah. So, you know, like, it's evolved over time. But now, like, then.
That wasn't the thing.
Like, Miami, Florida girls, they had them muscles.
That's all the time we have today on WCBE 90.5 FM. To hear the full show, you can find the City League Sports Podcast on Spotify, Apple, or whatever platform you prefer to listen to your favorite favorite podcast. You can also follow us on Instagram at City League Sports 614. Until next time, I'm Dr. Vince Clarno, and thanks for listening.
Do you love amazing stories? I know I do. I'm Michael Kent, and every week on my show, we examine something from history that's so unbelievable it sounds made up, but is 100% verifiably true. It's a podcast called The Internet Says It's True, and there are hundreds of episodes to choose from. For example, did you know the story of how Leonard Nimoy came up with Live Long and Prosper for Star Trek? Or how Columbia is dealing with a hippo problem that goes back directly to Pablo Escobar? Or one of my favorite stories, a man figured out that a nondescript Winnebago being auctioned online was actually an important part of space exploration history. These are all stories from The Internet Says It's True. Listening to a podcast has never been easier. You can listen through any popular podcast app, through the NPR app, or download the fantastic new WCBE app, click the Podcasts tab, and look for The Internet Says It's True with Michael Kent. You'll have so many stories up your sleeve, you'll feel like the smartest person in the room, especially if you're home alone.